Welcome back to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. I am so excited about the show that we have ahead of us. We have some phenomenal information that could save lives. I am Dr. Michael Karlfeldt, and with me I have my co-host,
Tanya Hobo.
You're going to need to tune in to what's going on today. The information is jam-packed, so don't step away.
So excited. Let's go ahead and get this started. Welcome to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. Welcome, Jennifer. Thank you so much for joining us and sharing your journey. I'm anxious to hear it, as I'm sure the listeners are as well. So welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, so we're excited to hear what happened. I mean, where did it all start, and when did it all start?
Should I just start at the beginning?
Let's kind of jump in, and then
whatever you think the beginning is, you know, when you were born, or you just never know.
The beginning of my Lyme journey was in 1997. I was in New Jersey and did not know what Lyme disease was, had never heard of it, and decided to go on a hike at night in flip-flops and trudge through leaves and all the stuff. And I know that was the night that I got Lyme disease.
Very romantic, right?
Yes. So I was in New Jersey at the time, but I didn't live there. So I ended up going back to Indianapolis where I lived. And of course, there is no Lyme disease in Indianapolis. So when I started to deteriorate, I got every diagnosis under the sun, because my first symptom that was really problematic was a rash. It started on my feet, and then it was on my hands and feet, and then it started to cover me. And then it started to come along with fatigue and, you know, on and on. And my first diagnosis was scabies.
Oh, really? Scabies?
I haven't heard that before.
Yeah. So body lice. Yeah, they thought I had body lice.
Well, I mean, they were right that there's some infectious agent. They
okay,
just wrong as to what side of the skin it was.
Yeah. So that obviously the treatment for that didn't work. I continued to deteriorate, and I ended up moving home with my mother and stepfather in Tulsa, Oklahoma, because I could no longer work and support myself. I was just exhausted all the time, just felt like crap all the time. And of course, I had no idea why. And then one morning my mom comes into my room and says, "Hey, Jen, I've been doing some research on your symptoms and I think you might have Lyme disease. You should go get a Lyme disease test." So don't you know, I jump out of bed. I grab my stepdad. I'm like, now we're going to the emergency room now. I'm getting this test now. And we go to the emergency room. It's like 8 a.m. by the time we get there. And the lovely old doctor who took care of me, he was an old guy. He was at least in his late 60s, early 70s, and even old for his age, I think. But when I told him about my symptoms, he put his hand on my shoulder. I will never forget this as long as I live. He put his hand on my shoulder and ever so gently said, "Well, Jennifer, I'll give you a Lyme disease test if that's what you want. But honestly, I think you need an AIDS test."
An AIDS test? Are you serious?
Mm-hmm. And so they gave me a Lyme disease test.
And then AIDS?
Yeah, because all my symptoms didn't match up. It was multi-systemic.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It wasn't one thing.
We've done a lot of shows, and that's the mm-hmm. first time I've heard that one.
Actually, for both of them.
Right?
I don't think we've had scabies or AIDS.
So far. Yeah.
You're the winner.
AIDS. Here we go. And it took 6 days to get the results of those tests. So you can imagine the fear of 6 days of thinking I might have AIDS.
Yeah.
That's what he did to me for 6 days. He left that imprint on my brain. So anyway, I was lucky enough to test positive for Lyme. And I know a lot of people have Lyme and test negative. So I feel like I was very lucky to have tested positive. And then they gave me a 30-day course of amoxicillin and presumed me cured.
Of course, yes.
17 years later, I begin to start having really odd, sharp, stabbing pains through my chest. And I went to the emergency room like 6 times in a 2 month period with just weird symptoms that didn't make any sense, that were debilitating and extremely painful. I was spending hours and hours in the bathtub every day after my husband got home from work. I would just pass the kids on to him and go sit in the tub and just be useless for the rest of the night. And I did some reading, and lo and behold, people who had a dormant Lyme disease infection often found out that their Lyme disease infection had reactivated with the exact symptoms I was experiencing. And I was like, oh, great. So really, I was never cured. I simply was in remission. And that led to losing my business. I had a business, lost my business, lost my marriage because my husband didn't believe me that I was sick. I was making it up because I didn't want to work. I didn't want responsibility.
Even though you had it before and it was a real thing.
Yeah, I didn't know him the first time. The first time had been 17 years prior.
Okay. So he had never seen you like that.
No.
So during those 17 years, you felt okay?
Yeah.
Like you did the antibiotics and then you just were okay.
Yeah. 100% normal. No symptoms whatsoever. Plenty of energy. Felt like a completely normal human being.
All right.
So the month of amoxicillin, did the trick for that amount of time until it got reactivated.
Well, I was young at that time, and I was the type of person that would stop taking the antibiotics when I felt better. So I can't say I took a 30-day course of amoxicillin. I know I took some amoxicillin, probably 2 weeks worth. And then once I started feeling better, I was just off and running to whatever was next in life and, you know, didn't even think about it. So I don't think I took the full 30 days.
So crazy that just that, and you were better for 17 years. So, okay, I have to back up for a little bit. So so you were trampling in the woods in your flip-flops hiking that we know we shouldn't do. Right. Okay.
In Lyme country.
So
in New Jersey,
from that time to the time that you went to the hospital to get your diagnosis or to get at least tested for AIDS, what was that time frame?
I'd say about 6 months.
Okay.
It actually took a few months for me to get sick. I had already, moved back to Indianapolis, got an apartment, got myself settled, and got a job and was living a very normal life at a very normal energy level and everything. And then just one day it just all went to, all went to hell. Like literally just, I was fine 1 minute and not at all fine the next, but it was a couple of months lag time before I got that sick.
And when you say that it all went downhill, is just that the complete exhaustion that was the biggest thing.
Yeah. I couldn't work. My joints hurt. That awful feeling. Like I just remember feeling like my body weighed 800 pounds. You know.
How scary as a young person, ready for life, and then this happens.
Yeah, it was very scary. And then to be told, so many different times that they didn't know what to tell me. They didn't know what was wrong with me. You're being a walking medical mystery is a terrifying experience.
Yeah, it is for sure. So once your world came crashing down again, how long until you guys realized that it was Lyme that was debilitating?
I realized it right away. When I read that article and it said people with a dormant Lyme disease infection oftentimes, I remember the article almost word for word. They oftentimes discover that their infection is reactivated because they're going to the emergency room thinking they're having a heart attack, which is what I was doing. Or they have these sharp stabbing pains. The sharp stabbing pains was the worst. Oh my goodness. Those would just knock me to my knees. Just all of a sudden, just sharp stabbing nerve pain through some part of my body that was just absolutely debilitating. I remember feeling like there was a giant person with their hand wrapped around my rib cage squeezing. So it was a constant sensation of my rib cage being squeezed. And just remembering those experiences and all of that, and all of this was happening to me right in front of my ex-husband, And he just didn't see it, didn't believe it. We had originally gone to, before I found my specialist, we had originally gone to an infectious disease doctor. And of course, that experience caused my ex-husband to think I was completely out of my mind.
Yeah.
And therefore I got no help. And, you know, I was the typical, I had to do a GoFundMe to get my medical care. I was very lucky, though. There's a Lyme disease specialist, an LLMD, here in Denver. So okay. I was able to see somebody who was able to effectively treat me without getting caught up in all of the crazy medical rigmarole that people get stuck in.
Well, it's horrible you lost your business, your husband, all of that. But thankful that you had somebody nearby that was able to treat you. I want to back up once again. So these pains that you had, these really sharp pains, were they like an electrical pain versus like a knife stabbing pain?
No, it felt like somebody, well, it depends. In the back of my arms, it would be like somebody would stab me with a knife and rip that knife down the back of my arm.
Okay.
So it was a ripping pain. And then through my jaw and through the side of my face, it was that electrical shock. I would get that through like this underneath my jaw and just kind of up into my nose and into my cheekbone.
Okay.
And that was also very terrible.
What do you think that, because I hear that, I had it too, but I hear that a lot, that people have that electrical shooting pain. Mm-hmm. Is that something specific or just a random way we're feeling a pain, or?
I do think it just depends on what kind of nerves, you know, set of nerves that get instigated.
Okay.
Yeah, because you have more of kind of the under the skin surface type of nerves, and then you have a little kind of deeper that control the muscles in themselves, you know, okay. those type of nerves. Mm-hmm. So I think it just depends. And so you have these different pathogens, and it's not that they are biting on things, but they're actually excreting chemicals that are very neurotoxic. And then mm-hmm. the nerves respond to that in different fashion. They try to interpret what that is, what's going on. And mm-hmm. so then your brain interpret that as something that you can relate to. You know, so, mm-hmm.
Okay. I always thought that, and I don't know that I've ever asked you that before. So.
No, yeah, yeah.
So you go to the infectious disease doctor, which, you know, there's a time and place for all sorts of different doctors.
Yes.
Sure. I don't necessarily think the infectious disease is a great choice when you have chronic Lyme disease.
Mm-hmm.
And so for you listeners, I'm just saying it. You hear it from me. You hear it from Jennifer. I'm sure Dr. K is going to say that too. Probably not your first best choice to go to.
Yeah.
So then when you found your doctor, was it a naturopath or?
Well, I'd like to do the backing up now real quick.
Yes, go for it. Your story.
One thing I'd like to make note of is I wrote down a list of 37 symptoms that I was experiencing. I took that list to the infectious disease doctor. She based her decision that I did not have Lyme disease on one question. Have you been back east in the past 3 months?
Because that's the only place where
no.
ticks are. Yeah.
Yes. And that's why I did not have Lyme disease. And she subsequently sent me for $1,800 worth of blood tests.
And
I didn't take the blood test because I knew better. I knew at this point what was going on. Luckily, I had a business partner at the time who had lunch recently with a friend. That friend brought a friend. And the friend who was brought was currently in treatment for Lyme disease. So I was able to go straight to, hey, Denise, can you put me in touch with that person that's getting Lyme disease treatment? I need to talk to the doctor. And so I was able to find treatment relatively easy, way easy compared to what a lot of people experience. Right. And, you know, it was like a 4-month wait list to get in to see him because he's, you know, his skills are so precious. And,
that's amazing that the friend of the friend of the friend is, you know, somebody that had Lyme. And that happens a lot, you know, just from talking to people. And so that's why I just think it's great for people just to share their journey, you know, anytime. If somebody ever says something, well, I was sick for years. You want to know what it was? Like, I don't even wait for them to ask, you know, I just want to tell them because I want people to know about Lyme disease because I didn't. And so many people don't. So, you know, luckily for that friend, it probably, you know, saved you a lot of heartache from being able to find somebody to treat you right away.
Yep. So absolutely.
I'm curious, what was this infectious, you know, doctor, what was he going to test you for? More AIDS or
I have no idea.
Yeah.
It was a list.
Yeah.
It was a list of all kinds of pathogens and squirrely things. And I just remember, cause I didn't have insurance at the time. And I remember the price tag was $1,800. And I'm like, I just showed you a list of 37 symptoms. Every one of them consistent with what I am trying to tell you I have. It's my body. I live in it every day. But, you know, no, because I hadn't been back east in the past 90 days, I could not possibly have Lyme disease was the verdict.
Yeah, because if it would have been 91 days, then, yeah, it would not have been possible because Lyme doesn't last that long.
Exactly, and it resolves itself and,
yeah,
you know, whatever. It's just ridiculous. It's just, and I've had so many times when I've been in the hospital and I knew that Lyme was part of the reason I was in the hospital, and doctors would say, okay, do you have any other diagnoses? And I'd say, yes, I have chronic Lyme disease. And they would roll their eyes, or I could just physically see them react to those words.
Yep.
And I had a doctor one time scold me and tell me, we didn't talk about Lyme disease. Stop talking about Lyme disease. You know, and it was like, wow, they're not just ignorant to it. They're hostile to it.
Yeah, they are.
And I've never understood that.
Well, I'm assuming you've watched a couple of the documentaries that have been out for a while.
It
doesn't make sense, but I mean,
But it is what it is. That is what it is.
Yeah.
They're hostile to it.
And I got to, there was a part of me that knew the hospital couldn't do anything for me, but I was so desperate, whether it was with my first panic attack, and I literally thought I was having a heart attack. But I got to where I just didn't tell them I had Lyme disease. They're like, do you have any issue? I'm like, nope, I'm good.
That's where I'm at now.
Because otherwise they won't talk to you like a human. You know,
they just don't. I don't mention it at all. Yeah. I learned. Yeah. Don't even bring it up. I was just in the hospital for suspected heart attack, but of course all the tests came back normal. There was some abnormalities on my EKG, but all the blood work was normal. They did a stress test that was normal. I'm just so very normal. And yet, you know, I feel like I had an episode where I felt like somebody was squeezing my heart and trying to rip it out of my chest.
Wow.
You know, I say I'm in remission from Lyme disease, but I do still have challenges that affect me on a regular basis. And that was a scary situation. And it was interesting that something was finally showing up on an EKG.
Yeah.
But yet all them tests are normal. Normal, normal. Nothing wrong with me.
No.
Isn't it great to feel as good as your blood test?
Yeah.
So when you started, you found this doctor, you know, you had a 4 months wait and you started, you know, therapy. What did that look like? How were you evaluated? How did this doctor identify what was going on?
It was a lot of clinical information. We just sat in his office and he typed into his computer and I basically just told him my symptoms and how they would come and go. And, you know, what I just described my experience of Lyme disease to him. And he diagnosed me with Lyme disease. And then he did another test. He did a second test. And that test was through iGenix. And that test showed positive results. So the treatment was a combination of antibiotics, pharmaceutical antibiotics, and herbal supplements and natural remedies. And he told me when I first started treatment that I could expect to be in treatment for about 10 months. And it was about 4 months in that I was able to get up out of bed and go get a job and, you know, begin to function like a normal human being again. I was still dragging, you know, I wasn't 100% by any means, but I was able to get up and go and do. again after about 4 months.
So you didn't stop after 2 weeks of treatment?
No, not that time.
She might be a slow learner, but she learned. She
learned my lesson. I did. Vividly, I never made that mistake again.
She never quits early. She doesn't hike in flip-flops. She
and she doesn't go to infectious disease.
So many benefits.
Yeah. You know,
silver lining.
Okay, so you started with herbals, antibiotics, and did it get worse before it got better, or was it you felt so horrible so you wouldn't know what worse felt?
Okay, so I am going to preface what I'm about to say with, I would not recommend what I did to anyone.
Okay. All right.
But, you know, they say there's Cimento and Banderol. You may have heard of those. They're very commonly prescribed to people. And then you've got the antibiotics, and it's strongly recommended that you do 1 drop and then 2 drops, and then 3 drops, and you build up your tolerance because of the Herxheimer reaction. Well, I said, screw that. I don't have time for that. If I die, I die. I don't care. I need to be better. And I took 30 drops of Cimento my first dose. And I continued with 30 drops every morning and every night until I ran out of Cimento.
You were actually able to even get up to do 30 drops the next day?
The toll that took on me was insane. I laid on the couch for 30 days feeling like I had been run over by 10 trucks.
And you didn't care.
A herd of elephants.
You just kept doing it.
Didn't care. I didn't care because I was ready to die. I was like, I'm either going to live or I'm going to die, but I'm going to do it now. Whatever I'm doing it now.
Wow.
And I just, yeah, I was like, if it kills me, it kills me. I can't survive. I'm suffering so bad.
I don't recommend that either.
I don't recommend it to anybody.
My first time I tried Cimento, it was years ago. So I don't really remember if it was, you know, 1 drop in the morning and at night, but it was 1 drop and then a couple days, then 2 drops. And I got to like 3 drops or 4. I'm like, this is kind of ridiculous. Like, what is this 1 drop going to do? I didn't quite do 30 drops, but I did a whole bunch. I thought I just killed myself. And I thought, I will never do that again. Cimento is so super, super strong.
It's no joke.
It's great, but it's strong.
And I tell people this to this day. You know, this might be something only people with Lyme disease will ever understand, but those bugs communicate with each other. It's like the Borg. It's like they're trying to turn you into the Borg. And bugs that are in your head can communicate with bugs that are in your feet. So it's almost like they hijack your entire internal communication system, right? And when I took 30 drops of Cimento, I'm not even kidding you, about 20 minutes later, I'm sitting on my couch and it was like I could audibly hear the screams of every freaking bug in my body. Ah! Like it was the most intense, sudden, loud. It was loud. I don't know how to explain the experience of just getting hit with all that Cimento all at once. And my body literally, like, those bugs, because they didn't see me coming. You know, that's the downside of the buildup, is that the bugs can then see you coming. And so they can protect themselves. They figure out what you are or what drug you're putting in your body or what herb you're putting in your body. And they form their, you know, cocoon or whatever it's called, to protect themselves from that, which is why I feel like I was able to get better in 4 months as opposed to 10, because they didn't see me coming.
And
I was like, no, I'm
going to
destroy all of you in one fell swoop. But again, I cannot overstate how sick that made me. And I would never recommend to anybody listening now that you do it that way, but that's just the truth of what I did.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you prefacing that again, because everybody's journey is their own, and what works for them works for them. Whether, you know, you brave Jennifer over here who just doesn't care and she's just going to take all the punches, you know, not all of us are that strong. But yes, from what you just said, my personal experience, and I literally went from maybe 4 drops to maybe 10, and I thought I was dead. Like literally one day, that was it. I think I threw the bottle of Cimento away, honestly, actually. I don't think I ever took it again. It scared me to death. But these tinctures can be really, really powerful. So you've got to be cautious if, you know, this is something that you're doing on your own at home and, you know, being your own advocate, and they're great and you can do it, but you've got to be cautious.
And I detoxed a ton. I spent like at least 3 hours a day, every day. The one thing I was able to drag myself up out of the house and do was go to the rec center. Here in Colorado, we have community rec centers and they have saunas in them. And so I had access to a sauna. So I was in the sauna. I would get in the sauna and sweat and drink water and sweat and drink water for literally hours on end. I would get out 10 minutes, recoup, get back in, get out, recoup, get back in. And what I noticed was when I was in the sauna, I felt better. It was like something about the heat just made my symptoms go away. I felt normal and calm and at peace when I'm sweating and super hot. I guess the bugs would quiet down or whatever during that time. But that was like my happy time. That's what helped me get through that was those sauna moments. And I was also taking some detox supplements, and, you know, detox was the second most important thing in my life at that point. You know, getting the cemento and the antibiotics in me was first and foremost, and then detoxing so I didn't herx to death was also, you know, that was second priority.
Yes, I like that. Kill and detox, because detox is so important.
So your strategy really reflects your last name.
How so?
Dare.
Oh,
she is a daredevil for sure. Yes. Like I seriously, my head is still just kind of spinning that you took that much cemento and went back and kept doing it day after day.
Girl, like I was so sick. I just cannot tell you how sick I was. And I had two small children.
Yeah.
You know, and I had a 9-year-old who was, I could already tell he's a delinquent. He's a drug addict. We have real problems with my 24-year-old son. And this was when he was 9 years old and I could see him moving in that direction because I couldn't give him the attention he needed. I was not going to stay sick anymore. It was devastating me in every single capacity. And I was like, okay, so either I'm going to live or I'm going to die. But whatever I'm going to do, I'm doing it right freaking now.
Yeah. I mean, seeing the impact in your children in regards to, you know, your inability to be the mother you want to be. I mean, that's just heartbreaking. I mean,
it has long lasting effects. My son is still, like I said, he's still struggling because of the challenges that Lyme disease for me created for him.
Yeah.
It's heartbreaking. But you definitely show nothing but resilience for sure. You know, so it's going to give, you know, all those listeners out there that, you know, again, don't triple, quadruple dose on that cemento,
but
it's either you're going to lay there and die, or you're going to get better and get better, get up out of that bed and find your why and do what you need to do to get better.
Yeah. And I think part of the biggest challenge for what you just said is what I said earlier, how the bugs, it's like ants. If you've got an ant colony, all of those ants can communicate with the other ants, right? That's how they work as a unit. The bugs do the same thing. The Lyme disease bugs do the same thing inside your body. So it creates a feeling of like being hijacked, like your spirit is hijacked, your higher self. Your ability to think positive and rise above things is literally hijacked by these freaking bugs, you know? And that's why it's so important that people have some kind of a higher power, man. For me, it was God. I am all about praying. I truly credit the good Lord above with my ability to survive what I went through and come out the other end and be somebody that is able to help others now. Yeah. But as sick as I was, it is truly a miracle that I'm sitting here with you right now. It really, really is. I should have dropped dead.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is a miracle. And what a blessing. And yes, your son is going in the direction he's going, but at least there's a chance, there's an option for something.
Yeah. There's always hope.
Yeah.
And I'm still praying.
Yeah.
And you're good and you're well and you're strong and so you can truly be there for him when you couldn't, when he was younger. And as you know, it's never too late to get better, because it took you a long 17 years to get sick and get better again. So,
And I want, for listeners out there, I mean, what you're talking about in regards to how all the bugs communicate, and that's with viruses, with Lyme, it's called quorum sensing.
Yeah. There's a name for it.
Yeah. So it's a definite, you know, scientifical, I mean, it exists and people know about it. And so, and they can communicate throughout the whole body.
I've never heard anybody say it except Jennifer. And then to think it has a name.
Yeah.
I know that.
I'm like, well, that's the weirdest experience ever. And it's so hard to put into words, but hey, there's a name for it.
Now, write that name down, right? Don't forget it.
Yeah. What was it? Something sensing?
Quorum sensing.
Quorum sensing. I'm going to Google that when we're done here.
Yeah. Yeah. So just type that in, quorum sensing and Lyme, and you should be able to have some fascinating reading.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Cool. Yeah. So
learn something new all the time. Doesn't matter how far in your journey you are.
Yeah, always cool stuff. So 4 months, and then all of a sudden you were able to somehow look like you were able to get a job, and then it was another 8 months, and then you were starting to feel better. What did you?
Well, I had to stop taking the antibiotics at that 4 month mark. My body was just telling me to stop taking them. So I stopped taking them, but I continued with the herbal supplements because I also had Babesia. So I took some artemisinin and, you know, other herbs and stuff like that. But as far as being under direct supervision and under doctor's care and having, you know, a set prescription of things to take and do, I would say that was about 8 months.
Okay. Yeah. And did you kind of rotate protocols, or were you just kind of leaned in? So you did rotate.
Every 2 months. Yeah. Every 2 months we changed everything.
Okay.
Everything changed every 2 months.
And
the antibiotics I changed, the herbs changed.
And how was that identified, you know, what to change to? Was it some kind of testing that was done, or was it just based on experience?
He did muscle testing. Are you familiar with muscle testing?
I've done a few
times. Dr. K is the king of muscle testing, and I love it. I didn't know anything about it until I met him. It's my favorite
That's what my doctor did, was muscle testing.
Awesome. Cool.
Yeah.
Great.
Very cool. Very, very fascinating.
So what were some of the other herbs that you kind of rotated through? So cimento, banderol, and then?
Noni. Cryptolepis, artemisinin for the Babesia. And that's really all I can recall off the top of my head. They all had such weird names.
They do. Well, great. So, and then after, so how are you feeling now? You're mentioning that, you're feeling good, but obviously there's still some things there. And also, it's important for listeners to understand. So you have Lyme, and then you have post-Lyme. Yeah. So you kill off infections. Doesn't mean, you know, if you've had a raging fire in a house, doesn't mean just because you get rid of the fire that the house is going to be all okay. You still got to repair and regenerate, and so that is a process in itself.
Yeah, I'd say. Well, the main debilitating symptoms that I had when I was super sick was the fatigue, the achiness, those sharp stabbing pains, and they were constant. What I experience now is I feel kind of a little bit tired most of the time. Like I function at about 80%, 85% energy level that I probably should, that people my age, my same health level do, you know, so I'm not out there running marathons or anything. I'm just taking it easy. But I don't have that constant pain and that dull ache and the sharp pains and the feeling like I weigh 800 pounds. My symptoms go away now, whereas they used to just be constant. And more so for me now, it's episodic. Like I'll have an episode of stomach issues. I have a diagnosis of inflammatory bowel disease. Well, it's Lyme disease, you know, manifesting as that, but it's episodic. Those come and go. I had a heart issue a couple of weeks ago, that was an episode and then it was gone. So I'm able to function like that. I'm in the process of starting a new business. I'm starting you and I talked about this earlier. I'm starting a wellness retreat for people with Lyme disease in Belize, which is, you know, that's my passion project. And it's the thing that keeps me going, because I will not let what I went through be for nothing. I will not let what I went through be for nothing. So that's the next step in all of this, is to create that retreat and all of that. And I'm perfectly able-bodied, and I was just down there power washing.
Wow. So I definitely want to talk a little bit about that. But so when you said that you have these little episodes, do you notice that you're doing anything that brings any of them on? Are you, do you kind of slack in your diet or your
yes.
sleep or of course, Jennifer does, because she's a daredevil.
It's my diet.
Okay.
It's absolutely 100%.
Okay.
You know, human
so
error.
You mess up your diet and then, you have something, and then you're like, oh, okay, I can't do that again. And then,
yeah,
and
I have a real weakness for Red Bull. So I drink too much Red Bull and sugary drinks and, you know,
sip a Red Bull, put me right in the hospital for a heart attack, without a doubt. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. So yes. So, she is going to be setting up a Lyme retreat in Belize.
Oh, cool. I want to hang in Belize. And,
right.
Yeah. Come on down. And,
all of a sudden I feel like I have Lyme.
You know, it's interesting. All of my symptoms, the few symptoms that I do have on a lingering basis, all of them go away in Belize. I have so much energy down there and just feel so alive.
Well, I'm happy. I really do have Lyme. I mean, you know,
come.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm happy to come help you set it up.
Yes.
What do
yes.
you need? Yes. So is this going to be some type of a nonprofit?
Yeah, it's already registered as a 501c3. So it's already, you know, if you were to, anybody out there listening, you can contribute. It's a tax write-off. but essentially what we did is we bought a big house down in Belize on a half acre property. There are two separate apartments on the property, and there's enough space for a few little extra cabanas. And what I want to do is I want to renovate the house into like a dormitory type setup, and then create more living space on the property. And, you know, it wouldn't necessarily be for people that are critically ill, because, you know, we're in Belize, right? We don't want
right.
to, you know, you don't want to go to the hospital in Belize. But for that, you know, somebody like me, for that mom who's just trying to get the bills paid and take care of the kids and get the laundry done, and nobody believes her, and she's just living in this bubble of hell, you know, come down to Belize. We'll take care of you. We'll do your laundry. We'll let you rest. We'll get, you know, we'll hook you up. We've got amazing herbalists in Belize, and the herbs are just grown right there. You just pick them and make your tincture, and there you go. So fresh and wonderful. And they're really, really intelligent about herbalism and natural medicine down there.
So is one of them going to be working with you at this mm-hmm. resort? Okay.
Yeah, we're going to give a plot of land, probably a 20-foot by 20-foot square of ground to an herbalist. Probably the pool guy. We have a pool guy. His name's Charles, and Charles' wife is an herbalist. So we'll probably give it to Charles' wife and ask them to actually grow, you know, 10 to 15 well-known herbs for inflammation and various symptoms that are common to people with Lyme disease, and then have them create individualized tinctures for each person that comes to visit based on the symptoms that they're having.
That's awesome.
Isn't that incredible?
It's going to be so cool. That's going to be so cool.
I love that. And you know, there's a lot of asks for that out there, mm-hmm. Of just, where can I go where I just live there and they take care of me? And the answer is always, there is nowhere. You know, there really isn't. And it's the simple tasks that we just need help with. Somebody, you know, cooking for us and cleaning for us, and just mm-hmm. let us with Lyme focus on getting sleep and resting and detoxing and, you know, eating right, doing all the things. And that's enough for us, you know, to remember to take all these tinctures and all these pills all throughout the day. But we can't do with regular everyday life things. It's too much for us. And so we want somebody to take care of us. So I'm super excited for you. This is this is amazing. So when do you think I need to show up to when it opens? When's that opening date? Girl, when should I book my flight?
Nothing happens on schedule. So
we're in Belize.
I'm gonna tell you 1 year from now, but really, you know, I have to say God has blessed a lot of this journey, and I am trusting that he will continue to bless the rest of the journey. So I really don't know what's coming. I know we've got the property, it's paid for. And whatever comes next is what's going to come next. And I'm just open to, you know, just being the hand of God in this situation for people who need it.
That's awesome. Well, I'm sure all over social media, we'll hear all about it once it's up and running.
Well, I don't have a website yet or any of that good stuff. So I would refer people to a website, but we're not there yet. But it's called the Rising Phoenix Wellness Retreat.
Oh, how cool.
I love that.
Rising from the ashes.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's beautiful.
Wow. Well, good for you. Thank you for helping those other people that need exactly what you needed and couldn't get. And you recognize that and you want to give back to do that. So that's just amazing. I love it. And thank you so much for sharing your journey with us. And again, what do we say? Do we need a disclaimer on this one? Like, do not do what Jennifer says.
Yeah.
Don't do what I did. Don't do it my way. Not recommended. Not at all.
Oh, gosh. Well, we appreciate your time in sharing your journey with us.
Great. Well, thank you for having me. It was really nice meeting both of you.
Likewise. Thanks so much, Jennifer.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Information this podcast is for educational purposes only, and it's not designed to diagnose or treat any disease. I hope this podcast impacted you as it did me. Please subscribe so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. There are some excellent shows coming up that you do not want to miss. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please take a moment to write a review, and please don't keep this information to yourself. Share them with your family and friends. You never know what piece of information that will transform their lives. For past episodes and powerful information on how to conquer Lyme, go to integrativelymesolutions.com and an additional powerful resource, limestream.com. For Lyme support and group discussions, join Tanya on Facebook at Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. If you'd like to know more about the cutting-edge integrative Lyme therapies my center offers, please visit thecarlfeldcenter.com. Thank you for spending this time with us, and I hope to see you at our next episode of Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carlfeld.